I'm at work, but I should be fine.
Well, there you have it, folks. We heard it from his lips himself. I've made it clear my intention is to play for the New York Jets. What's up, Jets fans? Welcome to a very, very special back-to-back consecutive days edition of Jet Nation Live. You know we had to do it, folks. It's real. It's happening. It's not officially official yet, but he said it himself, Aaron Rodgers, four-time MVP. He wants the New York Jets, baby, and I think that's the first time in a long time anybody of any relevance in the football world has said something like that. And it makes me shake, man. I have goosebumps right now. I'm so fired up. Glenn, how are we doing tonight?
Doing good, man. Doing good. It took me a minute. Like I said, right before we started, I obviously watched McAfee with every other Jets fan on the planet. And I was, you know, trying to do a quick outline of what he's saying, tweet some quotes, do an article. So I wasn't really caught up in what he was saying until that was all done. And I went to grab a drink out of the fridge, and then I kind of paused and just laughed. I was like, oh my God, like Aaron Rodgers just confirmed that he wants to be a Jet. I think we kind of knew that was likely with everything that's been coming out the last few days from Wingo. But yeah, to hear him say it is great. I'm not, you know, I've said a million times I preferred Carr because I wanted the long-term stability. The 1 year of Rodgers worried me, but I'm not going to worry about that right now. Like, I'm happy he's coming to the Jets. If they make, you know, they have more moves to make that they can make this team a Super Bowl contender. It might literally be a 1 year shot, but it's a 1 year shot. And we haven't had a damn playoff win in over a decade. So bringing him in, having a chance at a deep postseason run is very exciting. The hang up now, Dylan, as we know, is the compensation. And what are the Jets offering? What do the Packers want? And maybe it's money. Maybe the picks are agreed on, but the Packers want the Jets to pay a lot more of the money than they're willing to pay, because Aaron Rodgers is due about $1 trillion.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be tough. I mean, I feel like at this point, the ball is in Green Bay's court. Aaron Rodgers has obviously stated what he wanted, and it's just now, I guess, it's up to the Packers to either bring down the cost of whatever they're asking the Jets to do, or they're either going to hold firm and the Jets are going to have to, you know, fork over a more compensation. I don't see a world where we get to the like 13th overall pick. I have three Packers fans that I reached out to today after I got out of work. And I was just like, hey, what are your thoughts? And, you know, one of them was like, I want that 13th pick. Like, that's what we're coming for. I was like, I don't know if it's going to get that
all
far.
Right, you know,
like,
I want all the picks.
Exactly. And it's like, you can have 13, but I don't think you're getting anything else after that. So like, if you just want 13, fine, but I still don't think it gets that far.
I'm not even getting 13.
Yeah. I personally think it's like a 3 this year. Corey Davis, maybe a Carl Lawson, if one of the two, and something in the future that becomes better if Aaron Rodgers plays. Because like you said, he was 90% retirement going into the darkness, and then he came out and somehow the Jets pulled him back and they got him. But it's just, how much are you getting out of him? Obviously, that's been the question. 1 year, 2 years, obviously the very hopeful thing is 2 to 3 years. And if it's 1 year, you're not giving up anything significant. So it's really tough. I feel like you're in a stare down at this point. I think it was Samini that tweeted it out. How long can this go down for? Who's going to blink first? Like, can this drag out into the summer? And it very well could. But you know what his intentions are. He wants to play for the Jets. I feel like he's going to do everything he can to make it happen sooner rather than later if he can, if he even has that power. But it's just it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's over. Obviously, we're going to hear about it in the news cycle dominating every day until it happens, which – maybe he wants that. I don't know. I feel like he had to set the record straight. Too many people.
Well, I've got nothing to do with him.
Exactly. And he kind of made that clear. It's like, hey, this is out of my hands. I can only do so much.
And I think that's probably why he came out and talked. Because he's probably hearing enough people say,
it's his fault.
He wants to be in the news. It's his ego. And he's like, hey, man, I've already said what I want. Like, I have no control from this point. And he doesn't. And now you have two teams. And let's face it, neither team has a ton of leverage. The leverage the Jets have is that that's where Aaron Rodgers wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
The leverage the Packers have, and, you know, of course, the Jets have the fact that they know the Packers have said publicly they don't want Rodgers on their roster anymore. But I think the biggest problem the Jets have is that, and the Packers know this, they don't have a plan B. They can say, what are you going to trade for Ryan Tannehill and feel just as good about this? So they're probably just staring at the Jets going, we have the guy that makes you a Super Bowl contender, and we want a two or a one, whatever they're demanding. But the Jets, by the, you know, the Jets are going to stare back at them and say, well, he doesn't want to be there. He's not going to play for you. So you can get, you can take this three and a four, and or you can have nothing. And either way, you don't have Aaron Rodgers. So,
right, yeah.
But and neither team is really, you know, I guess the Jets would have the edge in that that's where Rodgers wants to go. He has the option to retire. The Packers could end up with nothing. And what if, what are they going to do? Keep him under contract and pay him to hang around Green Bay, which he's not going to do.
Right.
So no. They kind of have to trade him. So the Jets have that going for them. But it's the fact that you got no other option, that Green Bay is going to sit on that and go, you're going to let him miss OTAs? How long do you want to let this drag out? And who's your backup plan?
Yeah, and I'm if I'm the Packers, at least I'm trying to think of it from their side as well. If I'm the Packers, I'm clinging to the set part of the segment that Aaron Rodgers had on Pat McAfee today where he said he's the best player in franchise history. It's obviously debatable with Bart Starr and Brett Favre. I'm screwing it up. All those quarterbacks and everybody they've had there in their historic history, but that's kind of hurting the Jets. Like, hey, they know that I'm worth something and everybody knows I'm worth something, but I still don't think it's enough to be like, all right, now let's get some more leverage. That report about, I think it was NBC Sports Edge, came out with 2 first-round picks. I was like, I don't know. It had Packers fans real hopeful, but like, that's where it started with Peter King.
Peter King. And he even said, I guess.
He walked it back, exactly, on live television.
Yeah, even he said that was silly.
Yeah, and nothing has ever come out about 2 first-round picks since then. It's kind of been hushed, and it's been, you know, the basic kind of trade packages we floated around. So, I mean, there was a lot of positives that Aaron Rodgers said about this, like low-key about the Jets that I want to get into, including if you're watching on YouTube, those little eyes peering above Glenn's head there. A lot of positives were said about Nathaniel Hackett. A lot of positives were said about Rob Saleh, not necessarily coming out and saying, oh, these are great guys, blah, blah, blah. But in the words, you could hear him saying that there, this is a good organization that he wants to come to. So that little negative kind of hurt the Jets in trade compensation, but I don't think – I don't know, man. The Jets might not even give up a 3rd-round pick for this guy. I don't know. It's all over the place. I hate speculating about it. You go.
Yeah, it's possible that there was a 3 on the table, and then the Packers come out publicly and say, we don't want him. Well, that might have just become a 4. Like, if you're going to keep saying dumb stuff publicly and give the Jets bargaining power, but again, you know, maybe just out of sort of, you know, professionalism, whatever you want to call it, professional courtesy, you know, maybe you keep the deal the same, but you say, look, we'll keep offering you this 3, but you're not any better off than you were. You're worse off than you were when we offered you the 3 because you told the whole world you don't want him there. So it's a tough spot for the Packers, but really the Jets should just be saying, we've done this before. You gave us Favre, obviously different front office, but same idea. Aging veteran who's got a year or two left who you don't want there, so you can bring in the next guy. It's the same exact scenario.
Yep.
And a 3 and a 4 got it done last time, which you didn't even get that second pick because the condition wasn't met, but it ended up being Favre for a 3. So there's no reason it shouldn't be the same thing now. Favre was 8 months younger and coming off of a better year than Aaron Rodgers was. So the Jets really – it's just a shame it's going to get dragged. It's a shame it's gone this far. It shouldn't have gone this far, but of course it's going to get dragged out because this really does impact – well – whether they get him or not, they know he's coming. But and I'm just doing an article on it right now on Jet Nation, hoping to have it out tonight. If you look at their situation, I mean, thrilled about Rodgers, really. But anyone who thinks, and Connor Hughes said this the other day, but it kind of, when you just look at the big picture, it's blatantly obvious that once the Jets acquire Rodgers, there will be a lot of moves to follow. There have to be. They have no cap room. Once you get Rodgers, your cap is 0. Right. And you have, assuming you give up, let's best case scenario it and say you give up 1 pick. You have probably a dozen holes to fill on this roster, and you're going to have 5 draft picks and no cash the second you get Aaron Rodgers. So whether you like it or not, you're going to have to cut a Corey Davis, a Carl Lawson, maybe a C.J. Mosley. That's where your money's – what are you going to cut Ashton Davis and save $1.2 million? And do what with that? You know, Mosley is a $14 million savings in – Lawson is 16 or 17, and Corey Davis is 10 million. Dwayne Brown, if you make him a June 1st cut, is 10 million. Like, guys, you're going to have to go, and then that money's got to be spent on, you know, And really, in today's market, let's say hypothetically you cut Carl Lawson. Great, $14 million, and you've got six, seven holes to fill. What's $14 million going to do for you?
Maybe
like,
two.
I think there's a couple of backups, you know? Yeah. And they, you know, listen, not that anybody's shocked by it, but you lost Rankins and Shepard today. You're going to have to rebuild that interior D-line. They supposedly, according to Zach Rosenblatt, they were in on the Fletcher Cox bidding. Fletcher Cox went back to the Eagles 1 year for $10 million. Rosenblatt said the Jets were in on that, trying to lure him away from Philly. So the Jets know they have needs on the D-line. You've got – literally, you could be hours or days away from $0 in cap and five draft picks. You have to make big moves.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
You just restructured five guys.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention that because I saw a tweet. I don't know who it was, and I can't, you know, validate how accurate it was. But he said something along the lines of these restructures aren't full restructures. So if they do onboard Rodgers' contract, they can further restructure all of those same five or six deals and get a couple more dollars out of each one. I don't know how much, like you said, it could amount to $14 and you have all these holes to fill. I certainly think somebody's, you know, going to get the short end of the stick. And I mean, that's kind of the trade-off. Obviously you get a guy like an Aaron Rodgers that's going to lead the ship. And I've spoken about it before. You can only plug so many holes in the boat. You just got to hope that the guys pitching the water over are pouring it out faster. And I think that's kind of where we're leaning. So yeah, some of these hard cuts are going to be pretty tough. Like nobody wants to see Carl Lawson cut. And like, nobody wants to go, all right, now we got another need at edge and we got to go figure that out with only five draft picks. But it is just kind of funny to see Joe Douglas go from top of the mountain in terms of most draft capital, most cap space. And then in three short years, it's all gone. It's not, you know, you can make it up and have some contracts cut, like we were just saying, but you went from a high to a low real fast, and the reality of the NFL is kind of setting in, and it's going to make his job tough. I mean, like I said yesterday, you got a co-GM now in Aaron Rodgers. Joe Douglas' job just got a lot harder, no matter how you slice it, whether it's bringing on Aaron Rodgers' guys or dealing with the cap flexibility of bringing in a Rodgers' contract. But like you said at the top, you don't want to stress about the things that don't need to be stressed about yet, but obviously as like these crazy fans that we are, we're going to sit here and wonder down the road happens.
I mean, that's the thing that we'll be stressing about in days. Like the second Rodgers is added, worrying about Aaron Rodgers next season, we'll worry about next season.
Right.
But this is stuff that's immediate. And like I said, Connor Hughes sent out that tweet saying moves were, you know, big moves would follow. They have to. You can't. What choice do they have? You got to field the team. You got to.
And that doesn't mean big news, as in moves, as in people always coming. Like you said, it could be a big move, as in somebody going. Exactly. So
that's what I mean. And I, you know, my gut says Corey Davis will or should be part of the Green Bay deal. Mm-hmm. You know, they're obviously going to need weapons. They just lost Lazard. Davis, yes, there are injury issues, but his salary is manageable at $10 million. 10 or 11, whatever it is. So I wouldn't be surprised if they include him in the deal. Listen, just in terms of maintaining the number of picks, do the Jets get like a 7 back with Rodgers? You know, like Rodgers and a 7 for a 3 and a 4 in Davis.
Right.
You know, something like that.
You could recoup a 8 for sure.
Yeah, because anything you can get at this point is worth having, because you need the picks, you know. You're in a spot now where, yeah, you've got some great players, but you got some big holes, you know, and it makes me look at a guy like Jordan Whitehead and say, maybe they don't cut him because they need safeties. And yeah, you could argue he's making too much, but his salary isn't breaking their backs and he is a need. The interesting question is going to be, and Big Frank just says Cox would have been a nice signing. I still get heartburn when I think of Fletcher Cox, because if you think back during the Mo Wilkerson contract, they were the two big names at that position. And that was a rumor at one point. The Jets would make a run at Fletcher Cox and the Eagles would make a run at Mo Wilkerson. Mo Wilkerson obviously flamed out after about 10 seconds after getting his deal, and Fletcher Cox ended up being a monster for his entire deal.
Yeah.
But the Jets are basically in a spot where, you know, they don't have the picks. And it makes me wonder, Dylan, if, you know, looking at the roster, are they more comfortable with some guys than we realize? Like, I raved the last couple preseasons about Tanzel Smart. Are they like, all right, he's ready to be part of the permanent roster now.
Right.
He can let one of the DTs walk. Jamie and Sherwood came along from year one to year two. He'll be ready to step in for C.J. Mosley at some point. Would that happen now? I mean, I think the Jets love Mosley. But again, I don't. It's not even a matter of whether or not they like Mosley. It's you need cap space. Mm-hmm. What moves give you the most cap space right now to go add an O lineman or a safety or a running back? You know, they let Robinson go. Breece Hall isn't going to be back for a little while. You know, we saw rumors about was Jamal Williams. I'd be shocked if they go anything over than like $1 million. Like yeah. You don't have the resources,
tough, but yeah,
to spend on running backs. I'm thinking UDFA or street free agents to give you three or four, maybe five good games before you hope Breece Hall's ready to roll. Bam Knight, of course, looked good for stretch last year. So there's some options there, but they got a lot of needs. They obviously they don't have a ton. It's not like years past where they have 25 mm-hmm. needs, but they have enough that $10 million ain't going to do it.
Yeah, I think the best hope right now is that Joe Douglas is able to do a little bit of, roster gymnastics and get into a range where entering the draft, say he does end up with only five picks in the draft, maybe you only have eight needs that are not big needs, but just needs in general. And you can address five of the eight, and then you have three going into the season, because I feel like no matter what, even the Chiefs of last year, like they had spots on that roster that aren't necessarily the best starter quality guys. They're a little bit below average. They're, barely start, probably a starter somewhere else, but probably a bench player on another team as well. So I feel like if you could just get into that sweet spot of having a couple needs with the little bit amount of picks that you have. And like we said at the yesterday, you got to trade back. At this point, I think 13 is a trade back unless the guy you really love is there. And that's going to help you from a cap perspective as well as a grabbing two picks for one perspective too, because you're probably going to get a third or a fourth for whoever comes up into that trade. So, yeah, I hope that you can just get into that sweet spot there with the picks and the needs and try not to stretch yourself, to the point where you have four needs that are glaring and you don't have enough, cap or draft capital to fill those needs. Because as it stands now, there's, offensive tackle. I personally feel really good about offensive tackle as a whole. I know you have three guys coming back from an injury, but I don't know. I just have all this confidence in Dwayne Brown that if he played with one arm last year, what is he going to do with two arms? That's just my kind of mentality. Maybe that's just me being too happy about it. But yeah, I feel like you can plug up center. Even if it's not McGovern, you could probably get a B-list free agent at center. I think Ben Jones is still out there. I might have missed out if he got signed today, but Ben Jones is out there from the Titans.
I think that might end up being a draft pick. I mean, I don't think free agent is obviously a possibility, but I think getting younger, a little quicker there is a possibility. And one guy I didn't mention actually, because Pete here in the chat just said, we need a cover safety. Tony Adams, they obviously liked him. He hung around all year last year, got elevated to the active roster late in the season. It's a shame. Excuse me. That's one of the things that's a shame about Tony Adams. You would have liked to have seen him for a little longer stretch and get more out of him, but he was a guy that was taken out. He's one of the few undrafted free agents they signed who I watched before the year, because they signed so many obscure guys from, they make the small schools look big. So it was tough to get a feel for some of those guys, but Tony Adams was a guy that I watched at Illinois and I liked, was faster than I thought. And he's a guy that, again, he hung on the practice squad most of the year or the roster. And then he ends up on the active roster. He was inactive most of the year, got himself on the field late in the season. Is he another guy? Do they say, all right, look, we're going to have to carry Tanzel Smart as a contributor next year. Tony Adams is going to have a chance to start for us because they're going to have to find starters somewhere. They do need to cover safety. Pete's 100% right about that. But
Between Adams, Sherwood, Smart, I feel like, this is the year where the defense especially is going to have to bank on some players that have been in the system for a couple years now and that aren't necessarily, like I said, starter quality or above average quality, but that are going to have to play into a bigger role for sure, because that's just what teams do when, you have these cap problems. I mean, hopefully he can, open up more cap space, Joe Douglas can, in the next coming days, because I'm not ready for it to be over. I feel like free agency is just actually starting. We only signed one person other than Rodgers, although it is a very important person. We got to talk about him, and that is wide receiver Allen Lazard. He did get a four-year, $44 million deal. I believe $22 million was reported in guarantees. So essentially, you think of the contract as like a 2-year, $22 million deal for Alan Lazard. They're probably going to have an out in 2 years, which makes sense with the window that they've now opened up with Aaron Rodgers. But it's also somebody that, even if they didn't get Rodgers, was a Hackett type of guy. He's been in his system before, obviously, with the Green Bay Packers, and he's a tremendous run blocker. I've seen so many videos of him run blocking, but you could just tell if you're 6'5" and you're not known for your run blocking as well as your contested catch ability, you're probably not a good wide receiver to begin with. So Alan Lazard is everything as advertised, both from the contested catch perspective and the run blocking perspective. They do that little flip out play to Aaron Jones, and he comes down and seals off two guys, and he like bumps one guy into the other on the one clip I saw. And it's the type of stuff that we've talked about, we've harped on. And if you're going to get rid of a Corey Davis, you need a guy like that to block in his place, because Corey Davis was the best run blocker when he was on the field for the Jets last year. And they're very small outside of Alan Lazard. I know Garrett Wilson's like 6 foot something, not even 6 foot one, I don't think. And Elijah Moore's 5'10". So if you do bring in a Randall Cobb, who's short, if you bring in an Odell Beckham, who's like 6'1", like you don't really have those tall guys on the
outside. And I just don't see them having the money to do that.
You're
not going to spend another.
Even if you did, you bring in all the guys, they're still smaller guys. And I feel like Hackett wants some taller bodies to go with it. I know Judy was on the trade block. We've mentioned him before, him and Cortland Sutton, him and KJ Hamler is also on the trade block, all the wide receivers in Denver. I'm not sure. Maybe they try to pluck one of those guys away. But again, you fall into that situation of so much money, you can't really do too much with it.
Yeah. That's the thing is, you know, there's a lot of guys out there. Like, you know, someone said in the chat, do you get Calais Campbell? I think that's, I think that's a nice idea, but I think he's going to command too much money.
Yeah.
You
can't give out the Rodgers discount to every single
people free. People may not want to hear it, but you're bargain shopping at the moment. I mean, even after you cut the guys you cut to make the room you need, it's not like you're going to have $70 million in space. You know, you'll be lucky if you have 40, and you've got a lot of guys to sign. So, you know, someone says, do they need a cover linebacker? Absolutely. You know, we've talked about some of the guys in this draft class. DeMarvion Overshown, who's, you know, converted safety, plays linebacker for Texas. He's an option.
Perfect timing.
You know, exactly. Overshown's a guy like Campbell does a really nice job. I've mentioned him a few times this year out of Iowa. He had a great combine, by the way.
Yes, he did.
It was weird. He moved weird, but he moved quick. You know, he almost
thought the same.
I was like, why is his arm up in the air while everyone else was sort of, he was like,
he's wonky, he was dancing. But it works.
Yeah, he looked weird, but he was moving. So, but yeah, there's some guys, you know, Dan Henley, who I've mentioned a million times. Jeremy Banks, I mentioned him. I watched it. I talked about him a couple times this year, and then I watched him. It was a game I had watched previously against Alabama, but I went through it again to kind of edit some of the clips I pulled. That guy's super impressive. Like, he's in the 200s on PFN's player rankings. Mm-hmm. I like Jeremy Banks a lot. I mean, people might say he's a sixth or seventh rounder. I think he could be a three down backer. They do need another cut. They do need a cover backer, even though you brought Quincy Williams back. He's not a cover guy. Mosley's not a cover guy. So they do need someone. So yeah, do you go with Overshown? Do you go with Banks? And is there a free agent out there that you like? Who knows?
Right. Pete coming in with another question here, not switching back over to offense, but I want to get both his questions in. You think Mims will be on the team this year? I said this to somebody. I posted the current wide receiver depth chart on Twitter @DTerriman if you want to go see that. And somebody commented and said, Rodgers is going to bench Mims the second he jumps off sides. And I was like, I don't even know if Mims is going to see the field with Rodgers, because if he does get, you know, even two of the guys on his wish list, which is not a demand list, clearly a wish list, if they do get one more of his guys, you're already looking at wide receiver 5 or 6 for Denzel Mims as it currently stands. So it's very tough for him to work his way in. Will he be on the team? Maybe. I don't think they're going to give up on him, but if they really needed to save the $2.4 million or whatever that the 2020 draft class is kind of ascended to in that pay tier, I think it's like $2.4 million for him, and you could save most of it. If they need it, they might have to do it, but I think he's probably on the team. What are your thoughts about Mims?
I think the best case scenario for Denzel Mims is that he makes it to training camp and does something. But I love the pick. I've been defending him for the whole time he's been on the bench. Some improvement last year, but still too many drops. You know, he didn't have a ton of targets, and we still saw 3 or 4 drops, which is a lot for a guy with a low target count. I hope he gets it together and finds a way, but he doesn't do much on specials. He won't be the big body guy, even if Davis leaves, because you've got Lazard now. The only thing that might save him now is Joe Douglas not wanting to have another bust from that class and just at least give him an extended look in camp. Maybe he makes a couple. Listen, I want to see them use him down the field. You know, really, you look at when he did have some success in the league, was as a rookie under Adam Gase, when a lot of his targets came deep down the field. Didn't see a lot of that with him since, you know, the last couple of years. Maybe that's where, you know, play to his strengths, throw the football down the field to Denzel Mims. Let him make, he does that a couple times. Maybe you have a guy. Center, we covered a few minutes ago. I see Frank just asked about that. I like Tippmann. I like Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I like Tippmann out of Wisconsin. I think both of those guys are options. Some other later round guys, I don't have my draft notes with me right now, but I think it's, you know, you definitely have to look at a center at some point.
Yeah, and just going right back to Mims, I understand he's already a low-cost option, but if they do want to get even lower cost and go into the draft and replace a potential Denzel Mims, Bryce Ford Wheaton out of West Virginia is like, I don't know, I watch them. It's a Big 12 thing maybe for me. I don't know. He runs those vertical routes nice. He runs the hitch routes nice, the deep post routes. He has contested catch, but he's got the speed, the 4.38, and Denzel Mims was a speed guy coming out of Baylor too. So I understand there might be some PTSD when you look at the comps and the measurables, and they're really similar, but I don't think it's going to have that jump drop kind of in his head type of thing that Denzel has currently going on. Another question here from Big Frank. One I've seen quite a bit. How many primetime games do the Jets now get with Rodgers? I think the max is 5 or 6. So my assumption is 5 or 6. The Jet Nation.
And I hate primetime.
I'm not a fan of them in terms of having to stay up and watch them and, like, you know, take notes and do the whole thing for the show every week. It kind of throws off the timeline, but a Monday night game kind of hits a little different. And the Jet Nation account tweeted out yesterday.
For me, it's a Tuesday morning game. That's the problem.
Oh shit. Damn, that's true. Like, that's really tough. Yeah, that is tough. From your perspective, I understand
it. I mean, at least now I don't, you know, when I was 5 times a week, 9 to 5, those Sunday night losses were rough, man. I'm up till 6 in the morning to watch them lose, and then I got to go to work after being up all night, you know.
Yeah.
Now that I work nights, it's not as big of a deal, but yeah, I hate the prime time games being in the UK. But listen, I just want if they're on prime time, it means they're worth watching, and it's been a long time since we've been able to say that.
Yeah,
as being included in the trade for Rodgers, if anything, that's going to be Corey Davis. Denzel Mims has zero trade value right now, outside of maybe, you know, maybe a team that loved him in the draft and thinks the Jets have done him wrong might give you a 5 or a 6, but he's not going to carry enough weight to move the needle for Green Bay, I don't think, unless he's throw-in with Davis.
Yeah, he would probably be like a net zero in that trade, not really moving the needle too much for you. Yeah. But with the primetime games, real quick, the Jet Nation account tweeted out Jets and Giants potential for Monday night on September 11th.
Season,
I think,
opener.
That would be absolutely rocking from both sides. I feel like you would just have to just pack the house with, it doesn't matter, Jets or Giants fans, whoever. I think it's a Giants home game, but you know the Jets fans are going to get there if it's the opening game with Rodgers. But yeah, that would be intense. But no, I certainly think we're going to get the full gambit of primetime games if the Rodgers thing does come. All right. Anything else? DT. Oh, DT is another position of need now that Rankins is gone. I did see Rankins got, I think, $10.5 million from
Houston.
It was. Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Shepard got whatever from the Saints. Shepard got $5 million a year from the Saints.
Shepard went to the Saints. That's who it was. Yep, I almost got
them. So it is a need. You know, we discussed earlier, maybe is Tanzel Smart a guy that who spent all the last couple of years on the practice squad and you elevated him? Does he end up on the active roster full-time next year with a draft pick or free agent? Again, as we talked about, they missed out on Fletcher Cox, so they're clearly trying to address that interior right now.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Jonathan Marshall had been poached during the season, right,
Pittsburgh.
From the practice squad. Yeah, I think the Steelers, you said, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. Like we just said, son of a bitch, Adam Schefter, ruining my day. Jamal Williams, 3-year deal with the Saints. What a jerk. Jamal Williams is going to the Saints. Yeah, have fun, Derek
Carr. Too rich for the Jets.
Whatever the deal is, it's certainly too rich for the Jets, and 3-year deal just doesn't really make any sense. I feel like at most you're looking at a 1 or 2 year deal for that type of player because your room is going to be healthy by the end of the season and he's not going to be in the long-term plans. It would have just been fun because he came off of a 17-touchdown season, and it's exactly what the Jets needed last year, was somebody when they got inside the 20-yard line to just punch the ball into the damn end zone.
I think they needed bigger. I think they needed better blockers is what they needed. I think with better blockers, Bam Knight could have punched it in, but they didn't have. You know, that's when Herbig was playing on a bad leg.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they were down to their 18th tackle. So, I think with a healthy O line and Bam Knight, you could punch it in from the one or the two.
Yeah, that's very true. I agree with that. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on, news wise or Rodgers Lazard related?
No, I think, I mean, that's really all that needs to be said is that it's all about waiting on the compensation now. Lazard, at the very worst, I think, you know, Corey Davis has a slightly higher yards per catch average. I think he might be in some ways a better player than Lazard, but Lazard stays on the field. And, you know, as like we've been saying, availability is the best ability. And unfortunately, we haven't been having that with Corey Davis. It's a shame because I like the guy. I think he's a high character guy. I think he can be a really good player. But Lazard has been staying on the field. Davis hasn't.
Yep. And all right, here, we're going to sneak one more in. I saw you tweet about this earlier. I didn't get a chance to answer it. But Pete asks, who is going to be our backup with Mike White gone? He signed in Miami. Can't rely on Wilson, in my opinion. No, I don't think you can rely on Wilson to be your quarterback, too. I think in the Jets' mindset, he's standing in street clothes, holding a clipboard and a headset, writing down whatever the coach's notes are the entire season. Do I think the need to find a quarterback too is as pressing? No, I don't believe so. Obviously Rodgers could miss time, but I feel like at that point, if Rodgers is going to miss time, Super Bowl run is pretty much off anyway, but I would realistically answer this question with a Gardner Minshew. I think his market is not exactly what it has been expected. I think a lot of the quarterbacks are getting a little bit less than what I thought personally what they would get. I think Jacoby Brissett signed for $8 million today. So a lot less than I thought. I think Gardner Minshew would be a perfect backup. Yeah. I mean, he's a quirky personality, you know, to go along with our already quirky personality at QB1. And he's not going to, you know, derail your entire season. He might not win you every single game he starts or has to come in for, but he's going to be a spark plug, kind of like a Mike White in a different sense that the fans or the players rather will rally around a Gardner Minshew. So that would be my answer. Who you got on that one, Glenn?
Same here. You know, Minshew was a guy that I, even very early in the process, you know, before we knew some of these guys were going to become available, I thought you might have to consider him as a starter, you know, not knowing who was going to be on the market. Obviously, he's not your first choice to start, but when you look at Brissett and Baker and all these guys, he's the perfect QB2, you know, perfect QB2. I think he could start for some teams and win some games. Look, he won games in Jacksonville when nobody had done that in a decade. He was productive. So I think he's better than he gets credit for. If you can get him as your QB2, you're doing great. Don't love the idea of a rookie as QB2. If gun to my head, Hendon Hooker, give me an older guy who's played elite competition and played well. And that's Hendon Hooker to me. But I think he might now look, sounds like he might go in round two. I don't know if I'm willing to go second round for Hooker.
Yeah,
high with the Jets' needs. But, yeah, Minshew, if it's a rookie, Hooker, or, of course, Haener.
Oh, yeah, Jake Haener. I saw his whiteboard session with him. And he.
I got to catch that.
Yeah, I'll have to find it on Twitter and link it to you. But, yeah, Haener's certainly a guy. Hooker would definitely be a guy. I know he's getting a lot of buzz, top second round, even could slip into the first round just to get that fifth-year option on him. And I don't see it because of his age and his history. But – teams want to do this type of stuff. If you get them in a situation like Jordan Love with Aaron Rodgers just before, and you could sit him for 1 to 2 years, you got that, you know, mapped out for him. And I think he's going to be special. His deep passing.
I mean, if you're looking at taking him at 38, it's worth giving something up to move up to 32 and get that extra year.
Exactly. Yep. And you're not playing him this year, most likely because of his injury anyway. So you already know that this year's a wash. So you got to kind of get that fifth year on it because then you have the full range of what you can do with a Hendon Hooker. And I think the Eagles are learning that now that they probably should have moved up for Jalen Hurts because now they got to pay him this year and they're, you know, sacrificing a lot of bodies to make that happen. But when it becomes officially official, we're going to get back on here and do a pod. Unless drastic news breaks, we might be on tomorrow or Friday. Tomorrow is my birthday, so I hope that no like crazy news happens, but we'll be celebrating one way or the other, and if I have to come happy on birthday. Live, that's fine. But for Glenn, you can follow him on Twitter at AceFan23. please make sure to follow his draft account at Jets Picks, putting out tons of videos, tons of content at Jets PIC.
Well, Baylor's got some good linebackers, man.
Who's that?
Just throw that out randomly. I watched Baylor last night. They had some dudes up front making plays. Like, it was always a different guy. Like, I'm taking notes. I'm like, oh, that's a different guy than the last one. Oh, that I haven't said his name yet. Just sniffing out screens, blowing guys up in the backfield. Like, yeah, I'm editing those clips tonight. I'll probably shoot a couple of those out if there's any draft eligible guys.
Yeah, definitely send them out at Jets PICKS. Make sure you give that a follow all draft season. It doesn't just stop with the draft. He's going to be pumping out 2024 prospects before you know it as well. You can follow me on Twitter at D Terriman. Follow Jet Nation on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. We really appreciate everybody. I see you, Big Frank, putting your comment back in. How many primetime games? Just rewind a couple minutes and you'll hear us talk about it. Everybody, thanks for joining in. And until the news is officially official, just RELAX. Have a great night, Jets fans.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.